And I am so thankful that we live in a free country where we can worship God freely, and so many liberties that we enjoy in our country. Too often, maybe, we take them for granted. But there are many who, even though we are free on the outside, they're not free on the inside. And I want you to know this morning, Jesus wants us to be truly free. He said, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. He wants His people to be a free people, free from everything that would bind us, hold us back, keep us from really experiencing what He came to give us, an abundant life. He wants us to be free from anything that would slow down or hinder our calling and what God wants to do in and through our life. He wants us to be free from the cares of this world that would burden down our souls. He wants us to be free from the fear of man. He wants us to be free from all our fears. Galatians 5:13 in the NIV says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free." Jesus called us to be free, called us to have freedom. When Jesus began His ministry, He stood up and He read from the book of Isaiah. It's recorded in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." Jesus did all of those things as He walked this earth. But Jesus is still doing all of those things in and through His body, the church. Jesus hasn't finished His works. No, He's still working and moving today, still setting people free, still healing, still bringing victory in our lives. But I want you to understand this, that Jesus paid a price, that He sacrificed Himself so that we could have victory. Jesus, through His death on the cross, His sacrifice, He purchased our freedom, not our freedom as a nation. No, these veterans that we honor did that. But Jesus purchased our freedom of our soul. He purchased for that freedom for us to be free on the inside every day of our life. No matter where we are or what we're going through, that we're still free. That's what Jesus paid for. Jesus said nobody took His life from Him, but He willingly laid it down. You see, He laid it down. He laid down His freedom so that we could be free. He gave it all. It was the only way, because we all owed a debt that we could never pay. And He paid that price with His own life, with His own blood, so we could be free, free from the penalty of sin. Colossians 1:13 says this, "He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves." You see, it is by the blood of Jesus that we have been redeemed. We've been bought back. He paid that price so that we could be free from the dominion of darkness and live in the kingdom of God. Now, in this kingdom, the citizens are supposed to be free. Sometimes I think people in our country, they take for granted the freedoms, or they don't even realize the freedoms that we have. But how much more is it that way in the kingdom of God, where people still allow bondage and hindrances in their life, not realizing that you're supposed to be free? Jesus called us to be free. Some need to get free from past failures, past mistakes, past disappointments, past hurts. Some need to get free from religious doctrines and traditions and teaching that bind them up. Some need to get free from addictions, from habits, besetting sins, things that are unfruitful in their life. Some need to get free from fears and doubt and unbelief. Some need to get free from anxiety and stress. Some need to get free from sadness, depression. Some need to get free from anger and malice. What a bondage that is. Some need to get free from resentment and bitterness. But the first thing you got to know, if you're going to get free, is you got to know that you need to be free.
Right.
We got to be willing to come to the place where we acknowledge, I need to be free in this area of my life. In John 8:31, Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, it's always is interesting to me that these were Jews who believed. They believed him, but they weren't really free. They were in denial. Jesus says to them, he says, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. And there are a lot of people who profess to be believers, but they don't stay in the word. They think just a little bitty dab of the word of God is enough, but you can't really be a disciple that way. But he says, if you abide in my word, see, if you're serious about living that abundant life and serving God and living it all God has for you, then you're going to stay in the Word. You're going to keep on keeping on in the Word of God. Keep growing. He says, if you abide in my Word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's where this statement comes that's so often been pulled out of context. Even the world quotes it. Somebody needs to tell the truth. And they say, well, the truth will set you free. Now, people ought to tell the truth, but that's not what Jesus was talking about here. He was talking about the truth of God's word. He said in John 17 to the Father, he says, thy word is truth. The truth of God's word, when you know real truth, eternal truth, that truth has a power in it to set you free. Now, it's not just, you know about it. It's when you really know it down in your heart, that it's become part of you, that you are certain that it's true. That's when that truth has the power to set you free.
Amen.
If you abide in me, in my words, and you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, and they said, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? These were people that believed Jesus, but they needed to be set free. And they said to Jesus, we're Abraham's descendants. We've never been in bondage to anyone. What big liars these guys were. I mean, had they never read the Old Testament? I know that they did. I mean, it was common for Hebrew children to memorize the first five books of the Bible. The Lord told Abraham, your descendants are going to be in bondage for 400 years. And we all know that they were, that for 400 years they were slaves in Egypt. Later they were in bondage under the Babylonians and many others through the years. And even at this time when they're saying these things, they are under a Roman occupation. They had to get the Romans to crucify Jesus because they didn't have the authority to do it. And the Romans had messed up their way of life. And yet they're telling Jesus, we've never been in bondage to any man. You talk about denial. But you know what? A lot of times people get into denial when you're talking about getting free in your life. It's easy for us to say, oh, no, it's all good. That's what these guys said. But Jesus wasn't talking about that kind of bondage. See, they're talking about slavery. They're talking about being under another people. That's not even what Jesus was talking about.
Right.
You can be free on the outside, but bound on the inside.
Right.
And you can also be like the Apostle Paul, who was put in prison, and yet he was free on the inside. That's what Jesus was talking about, being free on the inside. In verse 34, he says, Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Now, there's a message that your friends and neighbors would like to hear. Oh, listen, Christians don't even want to hear that. Whoever sins is a slave of sin. Jesus isn't talking about, you know, that if you ever make a mistake or you ever blow it, you know, I got news for you. We all sin. And that's not going to change until we get to heaven. But he is talking about those who live in sin. It's a continual thing. Those that live in sin, those that are allowing some sin to remain in their life. He says, it's your master.
That's right.
And I want to tell you this morning, Jesus wants his people to be free.
Amen.
I know preaching on sin is real popular. Lord, give me something easy to preach. No, sometimes God knows exactly what we need, and I'm telling you the truth is there's so many Christians that are bound up in this area of their life. There's some sin that's had a hold on them, and it's hindering them. It's keeping them back from so many blessings and what God wants to do in and through their life. But Jesus says it very plainly, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed.
Amen.
See, he wants you to really be free. He wants us to have victory in our life. And we can't just say, oh, well, you know, I got this weakness, or here's what we like to call it, I got a problem. Yeah, it's a sin problem, and Jesus wants us to be free. There is a way for us to have freedom. He says, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. But you know, the prodigal son, when he left home and he wasted everything he had and he found himself feeding pigs and he was so hungry, he wanted to eat the pig food. The Bible says that something happened. He came to himself. All of a sudden, he realized where he was in the pig pen. And he said, in my father's house, even the servants have more than enough food to eat. And I'm telling you that sometimes we need to realize where we are. If we've allowed, if we've accepted that we just put up with certain sins in our life, it's our master. Get out of that pig pen. You got to realize, you know what? I need to get free in this area of my life. I need victory in this area of my life. I'm not going to stay in this place anymore. Some people, they have a bondage in an area of their life, and it just begins to affect every part of their life. Let me phrase it another way. It just begins to infect every part of their life. See, some people have a real problem with anger. It is an habitual sin in their life. They just blow up, they get mad, and they just lose it. And it impacts their family. It impacts their workplace. It impacts their driving. Oh, yeah. It impacts every part of their life. It impacts their witness. You know what? There's nothing that will blow your witness and testimony and influence on other people worse than losing your temper.
Right.
Some people have a bondage to pornography. And it's, you know, it's easy for people to say, oh, that's one of those sins. It don't hurt nobody. I want to tell you, it will impact every area of your life. It will start wearing away at your relationships. It can affect your work. It's amazing if you read the statistics about how the percentage of people that look at pornography even while they're supposed to be working. Some people, it's alcohol. Oh, well, a little drink never hurt anybody. But the truth is that alcohol destroys millions of lives. It's a bondage. And people can be so blind and so unwilling to admit that they've got a problem when Jesus just wants them to be free. For some people, it's just good old-fashioned pride. Makes it hard to receive anything from God because he resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. He keeps them from being the man or the woman of God that they know they're supposed to be. For some, it's greed. It just drives them. The Bible says that greed is the sin of idolatry. But it just controls. It becomes a controlling factor in their life. Some people, they just got a bondage to gossip and backbiting. They always got to be telling the story, talking about somebody else, criticizing somebody else. And it's such a nasty bondage. But Jesus says there's an answer. He says, if you stay in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And I'm telling you, you can find the principles of truth that will set you free in the word of God. This truth sets free. We're going to go to Romans chapter 6 and begin from verse 1 there. I'm going to talk later in this message about some other things that bind people up and keep people from really being free. But we're going to deal just for a few minutes with this issue of sin. Oh, it's something that needs to be talked about. It may not be popular to talk about it. In fact, it amazes me how infrequently this passage of Romans chapter 6 is read or talked about. Some of the things that I'm going to read here are going to sound really strange to some of you. It's going to sound so weird and foreign, but it is the Christian life. It is a big part of what it means to be a Christian and how we're supposed to live. So we're going to read from verse 1. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? That right there is exactly where a lot of believers are today. They think that because of grace, it doesn't matter if they sin.
Right.
He says, by no means. We died to sin. I told you. Listen, you see, to a lot of people, this is just weird. We died to sin. I'm talking to every born-again Christian.
Yes.
We died to sin. Right. They're thinking, oh no, it's alive and well. We died to sin. This is a spiritual truth. How do you know that you're saved? By faith. How do you know that your sins are forgiven? By faith, because the Bible says so. How do you know that you're free from sin? Because the Bible says so. It's by faith. I accept what the Word of God says. And He says, we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. See, we died to sin.
Right.
On the cross with Christ. Baptism is a symbol of that. When we go down into the water, it is a symbol of that being buried with Christ. When we come up, we are resurrected to live a new life in Christ. Raised from the dead through the glory of the Father so that we too may live a new life. Then in verse, I'm just going to drop to 6 and 7. Or no, let's read 5 also. 5, 6, and 7. If we've been united with Him like this in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. Now listen, for we know that our old self, that old sinful nature that came from Adam, all of us have that in common. We were all born with a sinful nature. He says, we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin.
Amen.
How did that happen? Because we were crucified with Christ.
Right, right.
Is that, I don't remember that. You need to understand that it is talking about that sin nature that was passed down generation after generation from Adam. That old sin nature, by faith, it was put on the cross with Christ. That old nature was crucified with Christ. How do you know that? Because the Bible tells me so. And we need to understand this, that He wants us to be free. He says that we should no longer be slaves to sin.
Amen.
We're not a slave anymore. No, we can be free. And you need to know that God wants you to be free. Now, verse 7, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. We need to familiarize ourselves with this truth. We need to get a hold of this until we know it. Because once you know it, it'll set you free. Amen. Listen, nobody who has died is still bound by sin.
Right.
They're free from it. Dead people don't sin.
Right.
And we need to realize that we died, that old man died on the cross with Christ.
Right.
You know, we accept Jesus' forgiveness that he bore our sins on the cross. But we also need to accept that he delivered us from sin.
Yes.
That old man was crucified on the cross with Christ. Now just one more verse from Romans chapter 6. We're going to go to verse 11. He says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. The King James, instead of count, it says reckon, that good old Texas word. But count is actually a better translation because it's an accounting term. It's like you record it. You mark it down. You write it down. You count yourself dead to sin.
Right.
It may not seem like it. You may not feel like it. Count it. Mark it down. Decide, I'm dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. What a powerful truth that is if we want to really be free from some habit, some addiction, some sin in our life. We can't do it on our own. We're not doing it on our own. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Apostle Paul gives us this truth again in Galatians 2:20. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. I've been crucified with Christ. Here's the truth. I've been crucified with Christ. It's just as true about you as it was Paul.
That's right.
It's just some of us don't know it.
That's right.
You need to know it. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ lives in me.
Right.
Now, most believers get that. They understand that through the person of the Holy Spirit that Christ lives in us. You need to realize this. That Christ lives in you because that old nature's on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Jesus Christ came to live inside of you. And so you don't allow sin to have its way anymore. You don't allow that old nature to rule in your life anymore because Jesus is in charge.
Amen.
The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. You see, he made the ultimate sacrifice so that we could be free. Christ lives in you. Well, just say it. Christ lives in me.
Christ lives in
me. Well, let's just get weird this morning. Say this. I am crucified with Christ.
I am crucified with Christ.
Oh, wow. See, for some of you, that's just really weird to say, but that's what the Scripture says.
Right.
This is what the Bible teaches. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. I want to tell you this morning that Jesus does not have a sin problem.
Right.
He lived a sinless life. Now, as I said, I don't think any of us are ever going to get there until we get to heaven.
That's right.
But we shouldn't be living in sin. We shouldn't have bondage in our life in any way, in any area of our life,
right,
because Christ lives in us.
Right.
And he doesn't have a sin problem.
Amen.
But to live in freedom, you got to know the truth. You know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I'm so glad there's a cure for being bound. It's knowing the truth. It sets free. Some people are bound by their past. Past sins, past failures. You know, Satan, the accuser of the brethren, he will tell you that you can never win. He'll remind you of all of the times that you've blown it, all of the times that you've messed up. But you need to remember that it is by grace you've been saved. It is by Jesus' blood. Listen, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Don't allow the past failures and mistakes to bind you up. The blood of Jesus is more than enough to pay the price for your sins. See, don't discount the blood of Jesus. Don't put it at less value than it is. It is more than enough to pay the price for your sins. And so those old sins and past failures, you need to understand that you have been forgiven, that he paid the price so that you could be made righteous. See, if we admit our sin to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the truth of God's word. You need to cast off that old condemnation, all of that old guilt. Yeah, you blew it. We all did. But Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation unto them who are in Christ Jesus. There's no cloud of guilt on you anymore. You need to know the truth and cast that old bondage off. You see, Satan will use that to try to keep you from the blessings of God and the things that God wants to do in your life. All those mistakes, all those failures. Well, I don't deserve for God to do anything in my life. Right. None of us do. Nobody. We all got that in common. None of us deserve. I've heard some preachers kind of twisting things around saying, oh, well, because Jesus did this, we deserve it. No. You're messed up when you think that way. It's by grace. It's what Jesus did. We didn't earn anything. We don't deserve anything. It's grace. Jesus did it for us. But we need to understand this, that the one who gave his only son for us, how will he not also freely, graciously give us all things? Well, that's what the Bible says. Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You see, God has showed us such grace, and in his grace, his mercy, he works in our lives, he blesses us, he does miracles, not because we've earned it, but because of what Jesus did for us. Some people are bound by past hurts and disappointments, old wrongs that still haunt them. We read earlier in Luke chapter 4 where Jesus said that he came to heal the brokenhearted. You know, whenever you talk about past hurts and wrongs, it can be a real sensitive subject because a lot of the time those wounds are still open wounds. And I just want you to understand, I am not belittling anybody's hurts or anybody's broken heart. Listen, I came to the Lord with a broken heart. I understand that. But I am going to tell you this morning that Jesus is the healer of broken hearts. He said very plainly that he had come to heal the brokenhearted, and he can bind up your wounds. He can bring healing in your heart. Don't allow the enemy to use those old hurts and wrongs to shackle you and keep you from really enjoying the abundant life that God has for you. Let the Lord heal those hurts. He is our healer. He can turn those old scars into testimonies of victory, of God's healing and God's restoration and God's power. He is that mighty. You know, when we talk about terrible wrongs and tragedies, and, you know, sometimes it's something that happened to somebody when they were just a little child, and oh, how they need the healing of God to restore. Sometimes even our veterans, when they come home, they're dealing with not just physical injuries sometimes, but hurt on the inside from things they went through, the tragedies they experienced, and the things that they saw. And I'm telling you that the healer of broken hearts, He can heal that. Oh, how people need that healing for past hurts and wrongs. One of the reasons sometimes that those things linger on is because sometimes we refuse to forgive. And in bitterness, we hang on to those things. Bitterness and resentment becomes a bondage in itself. And I tell you, people need to be free from that. The Bible tells us, Jesus tells us very plainly that we're to forgive. The Scripture tells us that vengeance belongs to the Lord and He'll repay. See, we need to understand the truth of God's Word. When you forgive, it doesn't mean it's okay. It doesn't mean that it's just being let go. It means that you're letting it go and you're letting God take care of it. That's what that means. You're putting it in the hands of God. But the terrible thing about unforgiveness and bitterness is that when you hold on to that wrong, you just carry it in your soul. It's choosing to stay trapped in a jail cell, serving time for what somebody else did. So you turn it over to God, get free from it. Some are bound by religious traditions, what they've been taught in the past. Sometimes it's just things that they've picked up over the years, misconceptions about who God is and what God is like. But I'm telling you, you need to know the truth. You need to stay in the Word and get to know the one true God and who He really is in the Scripture. One of the ways that I think people, it's obvious sometimes, and there's many different ways, but one of the ways that can be so obvious sometimes that people are bound up by religious tradition, or maybe it's pride or the fear of man, but it's in their praise and worship before God. You know, when you read the Bible, you see where the Scripture talks about singing and sometimes even to shout or to clap your hands and many times to lift your hands in prayer or worship to God. And yet, for a lot of people, that's just forbidden. They just can't go there. They're so bound up. And it's just because of religious traditions or what we've always done, what we were taught. But I'm telling you, they need to get free. And when you know the truth, when you know that this is okay, it's okay to bow before the Lord and worship. When you see these things in the Word of God, and you see that this is right before God, you can get free. Amen. You know, I mentioned pride, or the fear of man. Worship like you by yourself. Worship like it's just you and Jesus. Don't worry about what somebody else thinks. Some struggle to believe God for healings or miracles because of things they've been taught, that God doesn't do those things anymore. Oh, how we need the truth of God's Word to set us free. There are a lot of people that need to be set free when it comes to fear. The fear of man is a snare. It's a trap. It'll bind you up. But so many are bound by some kind of fear. You know, especially men, we don't ever like to admit we're afraid of anything. But all of us deal with fears at times. Fear of not being able to pay the bills or losing a job, fear of terrorism or fear of violence, all kinds of fear. But here's one thing we know about fear from the Scripture. It says that fear has torment. It's a bondage. It will keep you from being able to enjoy life and enjoy the blessings of God. Sometimes it's fear of not being accepted or liked by others, and that can cause us to compromise our convictions and our beliefs. Fear of not having enough sometimes causes somebody to do wrong. Fear of not being loved sometimes causes people to fall into immorality. Y'all really quiet right now. Sometimes fear causes people to to not do things that they're supposed to do. It's fear that I think oftentimes keep people from obeying God and being willing to be used of God or share their faith and their testimony with other people. Just fear. Well, we need to get free from fear. That's a bondage. It's something that you need to get victory over in your life and put it behind you. He doesn't want you to live in fear. But Jesus purchased our freedom by his sacrifice, by willingly laying down his freedom. In Galatians 5:13, he says this, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." See, our freedom is not for selfish use. It's not for us to just do what we want. You know, a lot of times I hear believers using it that way. They say, "Oh, well, I'm free. I can do what I want." It's not for us to just live selfishly or to be carnal. See? Right. Somebody wants to do something carnal. They say, "Well, I'm free." Listen, it's for us to serve others in love. All of us are supposed to serve others in love. There are times when we have to give of ourselves. We have to be willing to make sacrifices for others. Sometimes we even have to give up our freedom in order to serve others and help others. We got to be willing to do that. Our Lord Jesus did that. And, you know, one of the most powerful proofs of the death and resurrection of Jesus is the willingness of his followers to die for him. Many of them died horrible deaths. Many of them were, in essence, tortured before they were put to death. But none of them would go back on what they said they had seen and heard and experienced. None of them. It is still to this day, it is one of the most powerful proofs of the resurrection of Jesus that none of his followers would deny him, even if it meant death. And oh, how they gave of themselves. How they were willing to sacrifice. How they were willing to give up their own personal freedom in order to serve the Lord and to reach others. You know, Jesus told Peter how he was going to die. And I want to read that to you from John 21. But there was a day in ministry when Peter says to Jesus, he says, "Lord, we've left all and followed you." It was a lot of sacrifice for them to follow Jesus like they did. But in John 21, verse 18 and 19, Jesus says to Peter, he says, "I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. When you were old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." And Peter did. He was willing to follow Jesus even to death. He was willing to make the ultimate sacrifice. The Apostle Paul also gave up so much. He gave up his pride, his tradition, his personal freedom. You know, we read in the scripture how that he became known as the ambassador in bonds. Many of his epistles, his letters that we hold as books of the Bible, were written from prison. And finally, he was held at Caesar's household, and how God gave him such great opportunity to share his faith and witness for the Lord. But it was at great personal cost, even giving up his own freedom and ultimately his life. Right. And all I'm saying to you is that we who have been made free, we who have freely received, we need to freely give. We need to also be willing to put our lives on the line to serve others, to help others, to make a difference in the lives of others, to take Jesus to the world. Amen. And here's the thing. those who lay down their lives for the cause of Christ experience a freedom, a life that's beyond anything this world has to offer. Jesus said it this way, Luke 9:24, whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Oh, there's real life there. There's real freedom there when you're just willing to lay it all on the line for Jesus and say, Lord, whatever you want in my life, that's where that freedom comes so often. Some, you just need to declare this morning by the word of the Lord that you're free from whatever's been holding you. Some of you, you need to dig into the word of God until you know the truth. Look for scriptures about that area you're struggling with and memorize them. Get them down inside your heart until you experience real freedom. Some of you, you just need to make that decision that you're going to cast those cares, those burdens, that anxiety over on the Lord. Some of you just need to make up your mind, I'm not going to allow this unforgiveness to put me in bondage anymore. You just need to make that decision this morning. So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. I'd like for you to go ahead and stand with me, and prayer partners, if you would, please come.